Blog Talk Radio.
You have room on your team for this little space, bitch.
Welcome, everybody, to Fantasy Football Tonight. I'm your host, Todd the Guru Freedom, and, of course, I will be joined by R.C. RZA. We're going to try to get a jam-packed show into about, hopefully, no more than 65 minutes, as we have a little bit busy schedule today going forward, but we'll hopefully get it all done. Before I bring in my co-host and one of my best buddies in the whole wide world, and frankly the smartest man in fantasy sports, R.C. RZA, I want you guys all know he's a Mets fan. And that is
the who, the her.
The problem is I'm a Mets fan too this year. Been a Mets fan primarily because they are the Las Vegas AAA affiliate. 51s are the Mets team, and I got to see all these this entire team that's playing right now: DeGrom, Syndergaard, Bernard, Captain Kirk, as we call them out in Vegas, Kurt Neuenhaus, and of course. Wilmer Flores, and I'm sure the others, that's the ones I remember. Got to see them all play multiple times, great players, great team. Tough luck loss yesterday, but RC, before you come in crying, that game was dominated by the Mets. It just was dominated, and a little bit of good luck. You got to give it to them. They had the best pitcher going in the home field, and it took them 14 innings to beat you. So you're going to be okay, RC. And I know I'm not going to have all your attention, because you're watching the game right now in the bottom of the second inning. How are you, RC?
Hey, what's going on?
I was just testing my soundbite that loser comment. I didn't really mean that.
I'm sorry?
I don't know if you heard the loser comment. I was just testing my soundbites. All right?
Oh, half the time your soundbites don't work, and then the other half I'm probably not listening to them. So, but
I feel like I'm taking crazy pills!
I heard that one. That one is a good one. I like No. I mean, as far as, like, the Kansas City Royals, I'm not so sure the Mets were the better team last night. I mean, you gotta hand it to the Royals. This is going to be a tough series. Although, I mean, would it surprise you if, like, the Royals swept the Mets? You know, the Mets haven't been in the series in 9 years, so the Royals, definitely seem motivated. Great lineup, great bullpen, starting pitching, is probably a little sketchy, but that might be their one weakness. But last night, getting three innings out of Chris Young, that he was like, I remember he was actually on the Mets like a couple of years ago. He was just like the biggest garbage pitcher, and that's what he was throwing last night, just garbage, and they couldn't hit it. And, so you got to hand it to the Royals, just great game.
Baseball is a game of luck, dude. You know that. You know it's a game of luck. And you're absolutely right that Chris Young is a junk pitcher. And he just got lucky last night. I like to see him come in for three innings tonight, and he'll probably give up nine runs. So I wouldn't worry. This is going to be a 6-7 game series and hopefully in favor of your Mets.
So could we have picked, like, a worse time to do this right now? So the World Series is going on, obviously. Then the Republican debate's going on. Maybe like if there was like a free Rolling Stones concert on, Channel 2 and Oprah versus Katie Couric MMA pay-per-view match, that would have made it a little bit worse. But yeah, this is the absolute worst time for this.
We'll wrap it up quickly. It's worse for me too because I'm alone with my 3-year-old because my wife's traveling. So, I got my own issues over here. So. We'll keep it flowing though, because we're professional.
Oh boy! So I'm guessing you're gonna find peanut butter in your fish tank.
I got a feeling. I just hope he doesn't go outside to mess the Halloween decorations. That's all I'm hoping.
your 3-year-old's going to go outside and mess up the Halloween decoration?
Yeah, I don't think
so.
I promised him McDonald's if he stayed in his room and played on the iPad and watched just his movies, he promised me he'd be all right. And I'll take him to McDonald's.
All right.
I have to give a quick shout out to the leagues really quickly because we haven't spoken about the 2 Block Talk Radio leagues, which I'm doing horrible in one. Granted, that was a draft I missed. I said, I'm going to give these guys a chance. I'm going to miss a draft, and that's not really how it worked out. I just completely spaced on it. And I'm 1-6 in that league, but I just want to give a few shout-outs to the guys who listen to the show. Doomsday, who's a regular, 6-1 dominating. Of course, Lockdown, who already finished me off this year, is 5-2. As always, we expect him to be there. And there's a new guy, the End Zone Battlers, is 5-2 as well. Those guys are all doing fantastic. Who cares about Jason Primetime Swiss at 4-3? You know, he robbed me of a trade last week, so I'm kind of upset at him. That's the main Block Talk League. And, of course, you're leading your division at 3-4, so clearly you got an easy division because you're winning the division at 3-4. But I'm sure that'll update as the season goes along. In Block Talk Radio 2, I'm doing much better, 3-4 in that league, in second place in my division, who's 4-3. But I want to give the big shout-out to a bunch of mini dick guys. He's built the league for several years, 6-1, the dominating guy, and of course, Grumpy Raiders leading his division at 4-3. And there you are in the Junkyard division, leading that division at 4-3. That's a little bit more, a little bit better with the Inglorious Bradford at 4-3 tied with you. I'm going to tell you guys right now, I'm heavily competitive in these leagues, and I do want to win them. I do intend to. I don't know if I'm going to be able to pull off any surprise moves. I'm basically having outs to make the playoffs, but if I do, watch out. And in the Block Talk Radio 2 League, where I'm 3-4, see, that's all mine. All right?
Yeah, and I'm looking at a bunch of Mini Dick's team, and there's nothing, like, it's not like, you know, this looks like an overly dominating team. It's just a smart team where evidently he took, you know, Tom Brady, so he waited forever to take a quarterback. DeAndre Hopkins was a, you know, decent value this year. I don't think he was a first rounder, but, you know, probably the first receiver he took, and certainly he's been really verging on Antonio Brown type numbers. You know, coming close to that type of player. Julian Edelman was another guy that you could get really late. He had some very smart pickups with Stephon Diggs and Danny Woodhead. Maybe he drafted Woodhead, and if he did, it was like way, way far in the draft. Giovanni Bernard was that kind of subscribes to your view about waiting on running backs, because he was a guy I know I picked up in many leagues around the 7th round or something crazy like that, and he's really played better than Jeremy Hill, who was a first rounder. You know, Tyler Eifert was a great sleeper pick at tight end, Randall Cobb. So he's got, like, you know, two dominant wide receivers, couple smart pickups, didn't go crazy with the running backs, and you know, that seems to be the formula this year. Oh, no, I'm sorry. He did take Eddie Lacy, and that had to be his first-round pick. So I'm guessing first-round pick was Lacy, second-round pick was Hopkins. Now, that's a guy that's just killing teams. And, you know, I would say that odds are, you know, this is a guy that, you know, if you have been targeting in a trade, you're probably not going to find a better time to ever do it than right now, coming off like a terrible first 6 games and a bye week. You know, there was like some clamoring about John Starks, you know, doing something. I'm sorry, James Starks. I'm thinking the old Knicks crazy player. But, you know, he's hurt this week, and you know, he's just not at the same level as Lacy when he's healthy. But, you know, things should start turning around for Lacy pretty soon, don't you think?
Oh, yeah. No, especially once it gets colder in Green Bay, he seems to come out of his shell, and he seems to be quite dominating. So I would not – I mean, certainly if you could acquire Eddie Lacy, certainly do it, especially coming off the bye week and getting some rest. I mean, I know he's been dinged up this year. But Eddie Lacy is always, you know, going to come on. If you look at his numbers through his history, he always comes on when you get into that frozen tundra, when you get into that November time period. So certainly, grabbing him. I'm not as, you know, I mean, you know when DeAndre Hopkins is a rookie, I was all over him. And I love him. I think he's a great wide receiver. And I think he's going to have a long and prosperous career in the NFL. But I'm worried about him this year. The Texans are a mess. And this is a guy that I would start looking at as a possible trade bait. And I'm not saying you're saying you have to trade him. I'm not saying that at all. What I'm saying about DeAndre Hopkins is, first of all, they released Ryan Mallett this week because he's just a jerk, apparently, you know, in the way he is. And they now have, you know, Hoyer there as the QB. And he looked awful last week against the Dolphins, who put up like a 41-0 score. And then they just threw the entire second half. And his numbers came out looking good. But if you were there watching the game, which I was able to catch a little bit of that game because I was flipping back and forth between several games. I mean, he just looked absolutely awful. And this game, of course, Hopkins wasn't even the guy who was thrown to that. I mean, he had 12 targets out of, like, probably, like, 60 throws by Hoyer. And he had 6 catches, 50 yards, and the touchdowns went to Nate Washington. Of course, everyone's picking up, but you got to realize not every game is going to be a 41-0 score. And, of course, now they've lost Arian Foster, so they're going to put even more attention to the running game, the passing game of the Texans. And I just think that DeAndre Hopkins is going to be is going to have issues because every team is now going to say, listen, we want to beat Houston. The number one thing we have to do is just make sure we shut down DeAndre Hopkins. They'll try to let Nate Washington beat them. They'll try to let Cecil Shorts beat them if both those guys can even stay healthy. And they'll certainly let, you know, the Alfred Blue gang you know, do the best they can do to, run. And they're going to say, beat us. You know, we're not going to let Hopkins beat us. So he's going to be a problem going forward. And I think that's actually what Miami really kind of did in this game. They removed Hopkins the best they could from the game, dominated defensively, and made out like bandits. And, of course, last week I did say for a pickup defense, you did hear me say it, RC, Miami. I said Miami or Dallas. Dallas didn't pan out as well. Even though they had a good defensive game, they didn't get that touchdown or turnover I was hoping them to get. But I did pick up Miami in the home league, and they put up a mass amount of points for me, so I was quite thrilled about that. The rest of his team, he has a really good, you know, I mean, I'm playing a bunch of mini dickas this week. So we'll see how it goes with him as far as this week goes. I do kind of need to win, so I'm going to hope I win. But Nick, his name is Nick, by the way. Has a great team, and I have a feeling though that I'm probably going to go down, and especially with some of those. He has one of those teams that was just really well put together. I mean, he doesn't have these like massive studs. I mean, he does have Randall Cobb and did you say he had Eddie Lacy on his team? Because yeah, he does have Eddie Lacy.
Yep.
You're right. Eddie Lacy. You know, so those are obviously his two Green Bay studs. And of course, Tom Brady. We get Tom Brady late. I mean, so many people got Tom Brady, expecting him to miss 4 games, which could have maybe made him 2-0. He could be, instead of 6-1, he could be 2-5 right now if he had lost Tom Brady for all those games. But he didn't, and that's the good thing there is that he, you know, people gambled, and even primetime in the home league is doing really well now as one of the hottest teams. You know, because Tom Brady's turned out to be one stellar quarterback for him. So we do have a lot to cover. I can see we have Kenny. Hopefully we'll get to Kenny this week. I know I actually hung up on Kenny last week. I mean, I tried to, like, mute it back again when he wasn't available at the phone. We'll get to you in a moment, Kenny. A couple of quick notes, RC, that I do want to get to on the front of some of these players. And as a matter of fact, we'll bring all this up because we've got to talk about, you know, wide receivers, Dez Bryant, and in some of these running back situations that developed for week 7, this does not seem to be the most horrendous fantasy or bye week of the season so far. I mean, I think last week was a brutal one, having just between the Cincinnati Bengals and having the Cincinnati Bengals and the Green Bay Packers out. A lot of power players were lost last week, so I assume there's some people looking to make a win this week because of getting beat down last week. This week, I really don't think it's as bad. I mean, you got the Eagles off, and, you know, give or take, that's bad. The Redskins, give or take, that's bad. I mean, if you're, you know, on a desperation team and you're starting Kirk Cousins or, you know, Pierre Garçon or, you know, whatever on that team, you know, Jones, whatever. But then you have the Bills and the Jacksonville Jaguars. So you have a lot of junk teams. I mean, I don't really consider Philadelphia a junk team, but, you know, I can't stand them. So it's not the greatest hit. So I think a lot of good fantasy rosters, good smart fantasy rosters, are going to have limited losses on their teams this week. So hopefully people will be able to rebound off of the tough bye week last week. Let's go ahead and let's bring in Kenny and get that all squared away. Kenny, how you doing?
I'm pretty good. How you doing, Todd? How's everything?
It's going great. I'm sorry about last week.
Oh no, I was having problems with my phone last week. That was on me.
Oh okay. Then then bad Kenny.
Yes. Yeah. Chrissy, how are you?
Hey, what's going on?
Oh, nothing much. All right, so I ended up moving Gronk for Foster last week, so you know how that ended. This is a league where you don't necessarily need it. You don't necessarily need a tight end position. You just need to start three receivers. Like it can be three wide receivers or whatever, any mix. So you don't necessarily need a tight end because I didn't feel comfortable with Ivory as my RB1. So I was able to get McFadden. How do you feel about that?
You know, the Dallas game, first of all, they put up like 240 yards on the Giants last week. And McFadden does seem to be the standout. There's a lot of talk about Christian Michael taking over there and getting a lot more activity. Currently, Joseph Randall's on, you know, is hurt, and we'll get updates on that from RC a little bit later. But I do like McFadden. I mean, you got to temper your expectations from what you're going to get from him. But especially for this matchup that he has. I just know for a fact that the Cowboys, they're going to try to run the ball against Seattle this week at home. They beat them last year, and they did it on the ground heavily with DeMarco Murray. We're going to hope that they can do it this week as well with McFadden, and if Randall is, of course, healthy, which he should be. And, of course, I think Christian Michael will certainly get more involved. But, you know, you got to temper your expectations out of McFadden, and hopefully, you know, he's only a bye-week replacement start for you.
Okay.
Or, hey, RC, what is going on with Randall real quickly? Let's get the Randall update right now.
He's probably going to miss this week. I would say it's a 50-50 shot. As far as McFadden, you know, definitely, I think that was a really smart pickup, and there's definitely a chance where he's going to maybe rest that position away from Randall if he continues performing like he did last week. So I think you'll do well with that. Either way, he's definitely played himself into a more significant role than he was handling earlier in the season. Christian Michael is just a mystery because, you know, certainly if there was ever a week where we were going to see him, it was going to be last week, where evidently leading up to that game, they were preparing him to allegedly handle more carries. And then you had the fortuitous injury to Randall, which should have really catapulted him into a position of getting at least something, and it just didn't happen. So at this point with Christian Michael, I it's hard to see, you know, what it's going to take for him to, you know, to basically make it into some kind of significant role. So for now, McFadden's the guy, and I would say that Randall is now, the burden is on him to really overtake McFadden.
Okay, thanks. All right.
And by the way, Kenny, I understand you're thinking about doing the Foster trade, and it could have worked out because, you know, I would say that, you know, certainly the way that Foster, his role in that offense, and certainly he's an elite player and very, very dependable in terms of one of the best fantasy producers at the running back position. So you're thinking of doing that wasn't faulty, you know, without question. But why Gronk? I mean, was there something else you could have given up?
No, he didn't want anything else. I had the only thing I'll see he would have taken would be Hopkins.
Okay, and what was your other wide receivers?
Calvin and Cooper.
Calvin and Cooper, and you only start two?
Three.
Oh, you do start three. And who's your fourth?
That would have been Gronk.
Oh, but so right you now, don't have like a fourth guy on your roster that you use for bye weeks for wide receiver?
Now I have Davante Adams.
Okay. Yeah, because it seems like with your league, you'd be able to pick up wide receivers, you know, very easily. And that's why, you know, if you were going to do that trade, maybe Hopkins would have been the right guy to maybe offer. You know, because what Todd was basically referring to before, which is just the questionable quarterback play. And, you know, and the fact is and this is something that probably doesn't get emphasized enough, and I'm not sure, and I don't know what you guys think about it, but you don't want to overload your team with too many players from the same NFL team because you put yourself at risk for those clunkers, right? Like, certainly we saw that with Houston this week. They had a supreme clunker versus Miami. So the more players that you had exposed to that kind of situation, the worse off you were. But, yeah, so it was just, you know, in retrospect, maybe Hopkins would have been the right guy to deal. But I don't, you know, there's no right answer to that. And that could have very well just turned out very, very good. But, Todd, what do you think? If you were going to make a trade, you really wanted Foster, would you give up Hopkins or Gronkowski?
I would have given up, well, obviously, based on what I said earlier today, I would have given up Hopkins. I would never have traded for Foster. My problem with Foster is, because I used to be a big-time Foster fan, and, you know, but dealing with the disappointment of the injuries, especially with the groin year after year, that's why I didn't draft him on any team this year. The Achilles injury is a totally new injury, obviously. But, you know, that would be my problem with him. But if I was going to trade for him, it would have been Hopkins. Because I think Hopkins is going to have those games of inconsistency, and not because of him. I mean, he is an ultra-talented wide receiver. It's because of his supporting staff. So I would not have given up Gronk. Gronk's way too hot at this point.
Yeah, and by the way, as far as Houston goes, I mean, definitely what they have in their favor is a very good coach with O'Brien. So, and he's really been able to work magic with really nothing at the quarterback position. And Hopkins amazingly has been able to perform with clowns like Mallett. Mallett is just an awful quarterback. He's really following the career route of Tim Tebow, probably out of the league. Different kind of player, of course. He can throw, but he's always been known as like having a great arm. But he just doesn't grasp the game. He's not accurate enough, and you know, so it's going to be hard to see him catching on anywhere else. Hoyer, you know, is a smart quarterback, and I think Hopkins should do well. But it's not really like the situation. You notice with Antonio Brown, when Roethlisberger has been out, Brown is pretty much turned into a normal receiver. So Hopkins is very impressive because he doesn't seem as dependent on who the quarterback is. And at the point where they do get a real quarterback, he's going to be really dangerous. And unfortunately, this would have been a good spot for, they have a second-year guy, Tom Savage, but he's on injured reserve. It would have been nice to really see him in some extended audition and see if, like, he would be the future for that team. Unfortunately, that's not going to happen.
All right. Well, let's try to keep your team going, Kenny, so, you know, and see what we can do. So what else is – what can we do to help you for this week? Did you win last week or did you lose?
No, I won. I mean, Foster,
yeah,
Foster
had a good game, didn't he?
Yeah, he had a good game.
All right, let's move on.
Okay, so
you got to move on. Hey, Kenny, real quickly, I traded Jason Swift. I traded him Jarvis Landry last week for Antonio Gates because I want the power of my tight ends, and you know how that turned out. So, I'm on the same.
Oh, man, why did you?
Oh,
Todd, why did you do that, man? Jarvis Landry.
Because I really wanted a tight end really badly. I have plenty of wide receivers. I had Martavius Bryant coming back to replace Landry, and that's what I did. And he gets two touchdowns. I still won. He got two touchdowns, and I never even got to start Gates. So we move
and,
on.
You know,
we
do. The thing is, one thing to be careful about, obviously, is like when these players, Antonio Gates is obviously 35 years old. And certainly when he came back, he looked unstoppable and he was very fresh. And I could see why people were optimistic about him. But once these guys like hit the wall and it's always around the 34, 35 year old area, you got to stay away from them. You know, I think. You know, I mean, wouldn't you agree?
I would. Yeah. All right, wait, Kenny, talk to me, Kenny. What can we do? I want to know what we can do to help you out.
So, as far as stashes, you know, like, because I have an open position on my team now because of Foster's out. You like Bradshaw, Darkwa, or Carlos Hyde?
Carlos Hyde, definitely.
You know,
definitely Carlos Hyde.
Yeah, you know,
not
Carlos
even a question.
Is, yeah, he's a big dog. But let me just say this. I got to say this, okay? Darkwa, who Orleans Darkwa, who I picked up in several leagues, I mean, I watched him absolutely shred the Cowboys. He reminded me of a smaller version, and I know I'm going to get beat up for this one, but of Christian Akoya, where he just, I mean, he would run that line and guys would just bounce off him. I mean, it was almost like, oh, my God, am I watching Tecmo Bowl here? And if the Giants are smart, because they're clearly losing confidence in Jennings, even though Jennings is still a starter, and, you know, they never had the confidence in Williams. So, I mean, Darkwa could be one of those guys to stash away. But, I mean, the bottom line is that, you know, Carlos Hyde has the capability of being a number one running back any day of the week. And as soon as he gets that foot problem taken care of, that stress fracture he has, he'll be back at top game. So you definitely got to go with Carlos Hyde. But keep an eye on Orleans Darkwa.
Okay. Okay. All right, so last question. Quarterback pickups. So we only have two more weeks for pickups, and then you're going to have to pick anybody up off the waiver wire. I have McCown. Peyton Manning's on the wire, Teddy Bridgewater or Hoyer or Fitzpatrick.
Wow.
That's bad. I would stay away from – I know Manning looks appealing, but I don't think he's going to help you. I think at this point, you know, I wasn't a big fan of Bridgewater going into last year, and, you know, there was – it, more of a Derek Carr guy, and I think Todd was as well. But, you know, Bortles obviously has definitely turned into something pretty good as well. But Bridgewater, I think lately, and maybe it really was the fact that he didn't have dependable receivers, you know, because he did have a bunch of guys, like Charles Johnson, unproven, Cordell Patterson, you know, big hype, little production. Stephon Diggs is seems like a smart young player, and you can see how they're connecting. They've got, you know, a good offensive game plan for a young player run by North Turner. I think Bridgewater might be your guy. Hoyer is going to be erratic.
He's gonna be
we
garbage.
Saw...
He's gonna be, hold on a second. Yeah. Hoyer is gonna be like a garbage time guy. You're gonna get a lot of garbage time points at a point. I just wanted to say that, RC. So if you're looking, I mean, that might be a reason. Look what he did last week. If you look at the points he got last week, almost every single point he got came in the second half, and that game was 41-0. Sorry to interrupt, RC.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I guess I was just being too generous, and I think Fitzpatrick. Is really just kind of like that blue collar, dependable guy that doesn't make mistakes, but isn't, and you know he's definitely a good guy to run out there in the right spot with the right matchup, but I think Bridgewater might offer you a little more upside at this point. To me, it would be Bridgewater then Fitzpatrick, and I would say, and was there a fifth guy?
Tyrod Taylor.
Oh, that's interesting. That's an interesting one.
Who was the last one?
Jeez, Tyrod Taylor.
Oh my gosh, I would snatch up Tyrod Taylor in a heartbeat. I didn't even hear that one either. I mean, Tyrod Taylor's hurt right now. What's the update on him? He's not obviously playing this week, but he's gonna be back for after the bye, right?
Yeah, I agree with Todd. I think that he might be your guy because you know he's.
he's definitely shown, you know, glimpses of someone kind of like a Cam Newton type player. And he's even got better receivers. Not much better, but they are better. So yeah, he for fantasy production, Tyrod Taylor might be the guy to take a shot on.
Okay, so definitely Taylor over McCown. Okay.
Yeah, those are the two best. And the thing I love about McCown, and everybody's so down on him, and obviously I got in the world's greatest argument in the world because I actually started McCown. But I'll tell you this right now, the guy's going to get a lot of junk points because he plays for Cleveland, and he's got a lot of low-level talent around him. What I mean by that is they're talented players, but they're not like, you know, none of these players around him like Benjamin or except for maybe Duke Johnson. I would consider him a little higher-level talent. But, you know, and then Barnage, you know, he has these guys who can go out there, and none of them are greedy, and he can throw to anybody he wants to and make plays. And he did it in Chicago, and I promise you he's going to keep doing it in Cleveland as long as he has a good matchup. That's all I want to say about McCown. I'm sorry, RC.
Okay, all right. So, Ryan Matthews is also available, but still Hyde over Matthews?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, the problem with the Eagles, I'm just grown to hate that offense even more and more. You just never know who's going to do what. So week to week, you know, I think the only safe guy there right now is Murray, and he's not even someone that's that dependable. But notice lately Jordan Matthews has pretty much disappeared. Sproles has not been his typical, you know, kind of reliable self in terms of at least doing something every week for fantasy purposes. That offense is just too sporadic. So Ryan Matthews, great player, and, you know, he'll have his good games, but good luck guessing when those games are going to be. He's the type of player that you'll have on your bench 1 week. He'll go crazy. Put him in next week, and he'll do nothing.
Yeah, I'll give you a piece of advice, Kenny, like I normally do, and it's normally spot on. And RC will normally disagree with it, but it's normally spot on. You know, you're taking a gamble with Ryan Matthews, and I have him on a couple rosters, and I think I started him one time out of complete desperation, and he didn't do much for me that game, just like RC said. So what you do is you cut Ryan Matthews. I'm making a scissor. If you can see me, it's scissors. Cut him. You cut him, and you say, rather than take a chance on a guy that he's in a running back situation where there's three running backs, and a team that constantly throws the ball, and maybe he'll turn into something, maybe not, I would go and get Orleans Darkwa. And I would say, you know what, I'm just going to see what the Giants do with him. Because once the Giants, if they do blow him up and he goes from 8 carries to 15 carries, and then from 15 carries to 20 carries, you know, and then he's the primary back, if that happens, and I'm using the biggest if in the world, I mean, this if is about 3 feet tall, that you're not going to probably be able to get him at that point. So, I think, and if Carlos Hyde is out there, I'm sorry, Kenny, so will Ryan Matthews be out there always.
Okay,
what you're recommending there could actually be a brilliant move and pay off big, but it's also, I think, very risky. You know, because the thing with Darkwa, is he better than Andre Williams? Yes, I think that's pretty apparent. But remember, you know, this is one of those running back situations where you've got really four guys now. So you've got Jennings. Jennings, to me, really doesn't look that impressive this year or ever, really. I mean, he's always been kind of like a plodding guy. He's a decent receiver for a big guy, but nothing really exciting. I mean, he'll run a couple people over, but he's not going to run away from anybody. Vereen is not going away. He's definitely got a role there, although he's another guy, good luck guessing when he's actually going to do something. But Darkwa's got to really overcome Jennings to really be relevant. And Matthews, you know, with Murray there, Murray is a little susceptible to injuries. So I would probably keep Matthews over Darkwa. So, but what I'm saying, you know, what you're recommending could actually turn out to be a brilliant move. There's no doubt. But the chance of that seems to be a low probability.
It does. Well, we'll let Kenny decide. We'll let Kenny.
Okay.
All right.
Well, yeah, there's only one roster spot.
I think what Kenny does is he, like, listens to us, and then he does the opposite of what we're saying. And normally that turns out to be the right thing to do. Except on this one, notice how both, you know, our answers are kind of ambiguous. So you're going to have a hard time figuring out the opposite of what we're saying, Kenny. And that was intentional.
Now, who do you guys like more for the rest of the season? Devontae Adams or Diggs?
Devontae Adams or Diggs? Jeez. Adams for the speculative upside, but Diggs for both the speculative upside and also the right now production. I don't think Diggs is a fluke. I think he's probably the safer guy right now.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with him on that. I do like Diggs right now, and but you know, again, you're taking a little bit of a chance. You're really taking a chance at both of them, so it's really more of a coin flip. I will say this, that Devontae Adams is a lot more competition between James Jones and Randall Cobb over there, and it was a strong running game over there. Obviously, the Vikings have a strong running game, too. So I personally would go with Diggs. That's the person I would go with. But it's a coin flip.
Okay. All right, well, thanks, guys. I really appreciate it. So I'm going to pick up Taylor. And
Hyde. I think if you're able to get Hyde, then that losing Foster, I think, is going to go away and not hurt your team. Because I think Hyde, you know, should down the stretch actually, you know, no one's going to replace Foster. He was a unique player. But I think getting Hyde on your team would be really a boon if you can pull that off.
Okay, yeah, I would be dropping Darkwood to pick up Hyde. Okay. All right, thanks, guys. I really appreciate all the advice.
All right, man.
All right,
have a great week.
Yeah. Good luck, Kenny.
Thanks, RC. Thanks, Todd. Okay, thanks, guys.
All right, RC. So let's get to some injury reports now. Let's start with Dez Bryant. Let's start with the big dog. Everybody's excited. Dez Bryant is coming back. Is he coming back too early? I don't know. Are the Cowboys that desperate? Yes, they are. To get somebody out there and draw attention away from their other wide receivers, tell me what you think about it.
I think Bryant is the kind of player that will kind of tough it out and play even if he's really, you know, not 100%. So, you know, he has returned to practice. It is looking good for him to come back, but you still got to be careful about starting him. And I think you've got kind of an out this week because they're playing the Seahawks. So I think the right tactic is to leave him out of your lineup this week, see what happens. And I don't think you can lose with that because, you know, playing the Seahawks, he's probably, you know, obviously Bryant can tear apart anybody, but he's not 100%. It's probably not going to happen against the Seahawks. So I would just sit him this week and wait for next week.
All right. I'm going to tell you this. I don't really care if you start Dez Bryant this week. I'm not super-duper high on Dez Bryant. But I'm going to tell you this. The other wide receivers for the Dallas Cowboys, those guys can be a threat. What do you think about Bryce Butler now being able to get a little more open with the attention that Bryant takes? And what do you think about Terrence Williams being able to get a little more open, because, and even Jason Witten, because of Dez Bryant on that team?
Man, I can't figure out, like, what Cowboy receiver to – you know, as a Cowboys fan, isn't it disappointing? First of all, Terrence Williams is just an immense disappointment, because he really seems like a talented receiver, and it just isn't happening. And Cole Beasley seems to be, you know, really somebody that could be dependable, more of a possession guy, and that really hasn't happened either. So any receiver not named Dez Bryant that's on the Cowboys, I will stay away from. Jason Witten, I think, is, you know, a future Hall of Famer, and he's a dependable guy too. I would definitely have him on my team. But aside from Witten and Bryant, I mean, I don't want any part of the Dallas receivers.
Well, I'll tell you this. I mean, you know, you're absolutely right. I mean, you know, Terrence Williams, and I said this before and I'll say it again, you know, he's a guy that can only run a select number of routes, and you always see the routes that he runs that he catches the balls on, whether it's a post or a deep fly or a crossing pattern, one of those types. And he's pretty predictable, and I think that's why once he lost Dez Bryant, the guy who was drawing so much attention that way, and then he came over, and you know, after Dez Bryant went down, and he just seemed to disappear. It was because he's not as talented, I think, as we were hoping. He has, or at least he hasn't developed quite as much as we all hoped. And that's where Bryce Butler steps in. I mean, he's a super fast, you know, receiver. They acquired him from the Raiders, and he was like, you know, and I know he was a highly touted for the Raiders, but he never really developed. I think he was there for maybe a year or two and just didn't develop. And of course, who does develop on the Raiders? I mean, it is the Raiders. Now they're finally understanding their team and doing better at that. But, you know, they've let a lot of talented guys go to waste. But he's 6'4", a lot of speed, strong wide receiver. Last week he had 6 targets. I can't remember how many he actually caught, but I know he had 6 targets. I think he caught like 2. And that's bound to increase. But what I'm kind of hoping for is that when Dez Bryant comes back, that they use Bryce Butler either as a wide receiver or throw him into the slot in some situations, and they can utilize him on the same side as Bryant, break away and get some catches. I think he's a deep sleeper. I think you should, if you can roster a guy, he's not a bad guy to pick up for your team. I'm not going to get excited about it. I'm not going to go crazy, but you never know, especially in the league right now where wide receivers seem to be a commodity. He might be one that develops, and by the time Romo comes back, he could be absolutely outstanding. It's 1-0 RC in the bottom of the fourth. I'm sure you know that.
Yeah, I saw Murphy scored. I think Bryce Butler, you could be right maybe in a couple of weeks, but the guy that I would take a chance on as kind of like a gamble right now is Chris Connolly with the Chiefs. You know, because this is a team that historically has had a hard time, you know, getting dependable wide receivers. You know, they had Dwayne Bowe for a couple of years. They've got Macklin now. He's, of course, banged up. But it always seems to be just really one guy. You know, Kels is obviously a very solid tight end. But I'm not counting. I'm just, you know, considering the wide receivers. They've always just been able to have one guy at any given time, it seems like forever. But Connolly seems to be a guy capable of breaking that mold and maybe overtaking, like, you know, Albert Wilson for that number two spot. He did step in for Macklin as Macklin, missed last week and looked pretty good. And so my speculative wide receiver, if you got a spot, would be Chris Connolly.
You know, I like Chris Connolly. He had a great game last week against a, you know, obviously borderline professional secondary for the Steelers. And, I mean, they actually did a good job. And I know they're down a couple guys. So he, you know, he did, you know, he got away with some. But the bottom line is his success is really bent on Jeremy Macklin being healthy or not, because once Macklin comes back, he's going to slide back in that role. Does that mean that Connolly disappears? Absolutely not. But that would be my concern, is what will his role be and how many targets will he see once Macklin comes back? And Macklin could be back this week. I know he's under the concussion protocol, but he legitimately could be back this week, and you know everything he's saying is. As a matter of fact, what's the update, RC? Is Jeremy Macklin okay?
Yeah, Jeremy Macklin did return to practice, and so I would feel safe putting him in your lineup this week. Hey, two running back situations I want to ask you about. And, you know, this was probably very much two important issues on the waiver wire this week. That would be with the loss of Arian Foster, you know, they've got Alfred Blue, Chris Polk, and even Jonathan Grimes. So, what I mean, it seems like the obvious guy will be Alfred Blue, but it also seems that may not pan out. And do you see, like, any value to Chris Polk and or Jonathan Grimes?
I do see some value in Chris Polk. I don't see Jonathan Grimes, I think, if I'm not mistaken, has really fallen into, and I could be wrong about this because I really don't follow the Texans as closely as possible, but has he not fallen into more of a special teams role? I mean, I haven't seen him really show up too much on the offensive side, but really it was the Polk and Blue show in preseason, and Polk was getting carries. I mean, I really wouldn't. I mean, I put it this way: I wouldn't be shocked, since the Texans are in such bad shape, if they went out and actually signed somebody and brought in like a Pierre Thomas, maybe made a homecoming for Ben Tate, and brought him back. I mean, obviously Ben Tate's been tried by a lot of teams, and for some reason is not getting any people to sign on to his value. But I mean, you know, at this point they want to win. No NFL team wants to just lose every game going forward after losing a big player. They just cut a quarterback, so there's a possibility they may bring some. What do you think about that? I mean, there's a lot of, not a lot, but there's several running backs on the wire right now that are available that I think are better than Alfred Blue, Chris Polk, and Jonathan Grimes. What do you think?
They've stated that they're not doing that. That could be a ruse, but, you know, that's what, at least what the storyline is right now. They're happy with these three guys, and I could kind of see that working because, you know, look at, like, one of the most successful teams in recent NFL history, and that would be the Patriots. Have the Patriots ever scrambled around in desperation to sign some name running back? No, they just basically dig up these guys from the scrap heap and throw them in there, and it works, right? There's no reason why it can't work for the Texans. I mean, Alfred Blue has proven to be, you know, productive when given the chance. Polk is a pretty talented guy, good receiver. He might be like the goal line guy. He seems to be pretty well suited for that. Jonathan Grimes, the team's like really high on. He came in as an undrafted free agent, the same way as Arian Foster, who they discovered, where no one else seems to be able to do that. So I don't think they're going to sign anyone else. I think they're going with these three guys.
It's very well possible. I was just throwing that out there because, you know, there are, you know, they would like to, you know, obviously, you know, continue success. So we'll see how it works out. I mean, Albert Blue's not really bad. I mean, you know, in a perfect world, he's not a guy you want to start in your fantasy roster. But I'm sure a lot of people, especially in deeper leagues, picked him up. He's definitely the front runner, and I honestly believe he'll probably get the 20-plus carries. It's just going to be a tough, tough season for the Texans going out, and especially for that running game. And it's probably going to be a committee between the three, with Blue getting the most carries, Polk getting the second most carries, and then maybe, you know, a few carries going to Grimes, if any.
All right.
The
second running back situation I wanted to ask you about was the Tennessee Titans. And this one is probably, if possible, it's even less clear than the Texans situation, because you've got Bishop Sankey, who was at least, it seemed like he was like the number one guy week one and then has basically vanished. Then there's Dexter McCluster, who definitely has had a bigger role than he probably has had at any point in his 5-year NFL career. Antonio Andrews, who seems to be the preferred option for early downs right now. You've got Terrence West still there, but I'm not even sure he's still on the roster. I think he is, but we haven't obviously heard from him. And then David Cobb's coming back. So, I mean, what do you do here? I think the easy answer for you is really just stay away from all of them. But, I mean, if you're like in one of those deep leagues where, you know, you need kind of like a flex guy. I mean, out of Sankey, McCluster, Andrews, and then the returning of David Cobb, I mean, who would be your preference?
I would wait for David Cobb. I mean, I already picked him up in a couple of leagues. I think this is going to be a standout rookie that hopefully with the way the Tennessee Titans play, they play just kind of a – you know, if you watch them play, they play a real loose game. And they say, listen, we know we're not going to the Super Bowl. We're trying to develop as a team because they got a lot of young talent on that team. And they go out and they basically have fun and they play hard. And they have a few veterans like Delanie Walker and company to keep them in line. And they're doing a great job of it. I mean, they're not obviously winning a ton of games, but they put up points. I mean, I like Andrews. I really like McCluster. Because he seems to be the guy who's going to get the, you know, be out there the most, especially in passing situations. Sankey's, you know, he's such a disappointment. And, you know, I don't know what's going on. I don't know if there's something going on behind the scenes, but his lack of touches has been just demoralizing, not only for him, but for anybody who had any confidence in him ever in their history. So I would, but I would sit there and I would go grab Cobb if you have a roster spot. He should be back. What is it? Was he plan on being back week 9 when he's eligible?
It looks like week 9. Yep.
Yeah. So you mean you might pick up a. I'm not going to call him a stud running back because it's way too early. But he could come out and he could act, you know, especially with how good that team's been playing. And they get a jump start with a young with Cobb, and he ends up coming out and, you know, running, you know, 100 yards and just absolutely putting it down. I mean, you know, he could be a very good running back for your stretch run.
Yeah, I think you might be right on that. Yep.
I'll tell you right now, having the last name Cobb in the NFL, not too shabby. Not too shabby.
Because of Randall? Was there any others?
Isn't there a couple? I thought there was another one, but I think I'm thinking of the Johnsons. So I'm messing up.
Okay.
Never mind.
Okay.
I think I confused Johnson with Cobb. I'm sorry. It was Randall.
Okay. So as we mentioned, Macklin, he returned to full practice. Oh, the big guy returning this week is probably Roethlisberger. So with
Absolutely.
Him coming back, yeah. So this is going. You know, it was kind of interesting. I know when Roethlisberger first went down, I received at least one trade offer for Antonio Brown, and they wanted too much for him. But it probably would have been a smart move, anticipating his return. You know, he has been out a little bit, and certainly Brown has not been the same player without him. But now that he's back, you know, I think we can be fairly assured that Brown is going to return to his typical dominant self and carry a lot of fantasy teams. And then, of course, Martavius Bryant looks like the real deal. He's a really good complement to Brown, and I think things are definitely looking up for both these guys. I think Wheaton you can kind of forget about. He's too fluky. But when you look at the Steelers too, you can't depend on Heath Miller. Le'Veon Bell obviously is a elite player, but those are the three guys really on this offense. But they should be a very good three guys for fantasy purposes.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to go back to the preseason when me and you had the conversation between Bryant and Wheaton. We're not going to do that. We don't do that here, RC. We don't do that.
Well,
right?
I think we both agreed. Didn't we both agree that Bryant is the better, safer bet, or did we disagree?
You told everybody in podcast land that they shouldn't draft Bryant in whatever round he was going, fourth or fifth round, and instead take Wheaton in like the 12th or 13th round. And I said, heck no, I'm going for Bryant. That's why I own him on like four teams. He is an outstanding wide receiver.
I might have said that because of draft position, but I've always thought that Bryant is a more dependable player. You know, Bryant certainly is, but fifth round for him preseason was way too high for Bryant because you've gotten nothing to this point. So basically, if you spent a fifth round pick on Bryant, your team could be like 0-6 right now because you didn't have like a dependable player that you could have gotten in that spot. So that's why I said that. But certainly, no, at this point in time, it's clear that, Bryant is definitely the guy that you want.
Definitely. And you're absolutely
right,
by the way.
But you didn't have a fifth-round pick on him.
I don't know. I can't remember what I spent on him, but I got him, and I've been happy so far. And I think that with Ben Roethlisberger returning, I mean, the most prolific passing offense, I believe, in the league right now, is going to, maybe next to the Patriots, because the Patriots are doing pretty good, is going to come back into form. Let's hope that he does, in fact, return. I mean, I'll wait until, they make it 100% sure. But in everything was in that direction that he is going to be returning. And that's going to pump up Antonio Brown. I'm just like you, where I've owned him in a couple of leagues, and they're really tight expert leagues. I mean, we're talking about Mike Ward and my Riders League, and taking Antonio Bryant the first round and looking up and going, oh, my gosh, I mean, he hasn't done anything, and I've managed to hold on to good, decent records. So getting him back is like, it's just like, it's like he's injured, but it's like he's always there. But clearly with Roethlisberger, that those points are going to go up from being getting 6, 7, 8 points a game to going back into the 20s like he was in. Let's hope for that. And also, if you don't own a Martavius Bryant, if you saw what he could do with Landry Jones, imagine what he can do with Ben Roethlisberger. So I think this is going to elevate a lot of teams, just getting this one guy back. And I think that's going to be critical to the success of a lot of teams. So definitely a good one to get back in Roethlisberger.
Hey, and by the way, I have to correct myself, and I think you're right. I mean, I'm looking back at my preseason rankings, and I definitely had Wheaton ranked over Bryant. And I would say that – and that was mostly out of probably an overreaction to the missing time that Bryant was having. So, yeah, you're right. I probably was a little too high on Wheaton and not enough on Bryant. So, you're probably right. That was a mistake.
That's all right. I forgive you this time.
Okay.
So, is there any other injuries that we have on the docket?
All right. Well, you know that Gates is going to be out this week. So, that's making Ladarius Green look better. So, that's pretty good for him. Seferian Jenkins, the tight end for Tampa Bay, is back at practice, so that's good news. Vincent Jackson for the Bucks, it looks like he's going to be out this week, so that couldn't occur at a better time.
I will tell you this about Seferian Jenkins. I mean, I went out last week or 2 weeks ago and picked him up in a whole bunch of leagues. I had to cut him in a couple just because of other players that came up. But, you know, he's a guy that I think is going to, especially because he was cut in so many – he was basically cut in every league that I'm involved in. I'm not sure what his ownership was before, you know, he started, you know, getting on the hit list as being at least maybe coming back. But this is a guy that really should have remained on rosters because he has the young rookie quarterback. He's got a really solid passing offense around him with Vincent Jackson and Mike Evans, who, you know, had a fantastic game last week and is coming on back again. And, of course, then they have the running game behind him with Doug Martin. I mean, and, you know, and granted, Winston is developing, but this is a guy that is going to see a lot of targets, which he did in the start of the season, because he has that rookie quarterback. And I've always loved a tight end for the young quarterbacks because when they get scared, they look for that big target in the middle who is normally not covered by a top flight cornerback, you know, who's used to coverage. It's normally a linebacker of some sort. So if Jenkins is still available in your leagues, you need to go and snatch him up.
Yeah, but I can't – yeah, you're right. I've seen – as a matter of fact, he's still available in pretty much all the leagues that I'm in, and there is a select few that have taken a chance on him. And, you know, like you're saying, it definitely makes sense. But I can also understand why people were dropping him because he got hurt in, what, week two, and you were going to miss him all the way, you know, for 7 weeks. And if you needed the roster spot, it just wasn't worth hanging on to him, especially with the way that, you know, there's been a lot of I was able to pick up Eric Ebron in a number of leagues last week because, you know, people just gave up on him because of a, you know, 2 week knee injury. So with tight ends, I mean, there was really no reason to hang on to him. So I can see why people dropped him. Marcus Mariota should make it back this week. It looks like he's trending in the right direction. Over for the Thursday night game, the New England running back situation, Deion Lewis, they're shrouding that in mystery whether or not he's coming back. But obviously that would have a big impact on whether or not you'd want to, you know, take a shot with him, or I guess you'd want to start Blunt regardless because, you know, there's always a chance that he's going to, you know, pop over the goal line 3 times. So that's what's going on. That's what's going on over there.
All right, well, let's talk about I want to talk about Thursday's game. Thursday's game is going to be one of those somewhat interesting games. You got the Dolphins traveling to New England to beat the Patriots. The Patriots are undefeated, as though there are several actual teams that are still undefeated in this somewhat young season, not quite the halfway point, but we're getting there. Well, I wanted to ask you, Is this a game that the Dolphins are playing great ball? You know, their defense is playing outstanding. They're playing great ball. Do you see a possible upset here? And would you start anybody outside of obviously the regular Patriots? Are there Dolphins that you would light up in this game?
Oh yeah, definitely. I think several guys have emerged on the Dolphins side. I think the guys on the Dolphins side might be safer than the Patriots because the Patriots could tend to be a little unpredictable. I think, you know, Gronkowski is obviously a must start. Brady's a must start. Are you really confident in starting Blunt? You know, you're going to if you have him probably, but you know, it's hard to say, you know, if that's going to be the right thing to do. Edelman is usually pretty reliable. But then when you get to, you know, LaFell and Amendola, I mean, I'm staying far away from those guys. Although Amendola definitely looks like the better guy to start. Last week, LaFell was thrown to a good deal, but couldn't seem to hang on to the ball. I'm sure that's going to improve as we go along. But I think on the Dolphins side, Lamar Miller has proven to be, you know, in a year where it's hard to find running backs with upside because of so many committee situations, Lamar Miller has a chance to become one of those rare exceptions to that, where, you know, he's going to be the guy that you know is going to get the majority of the carries and is going to do something each week, is a threat to, you know, cross 100 yards and score a touchdown. And that seems to be rare, you know, these days at the running back position. And then with the receivers, Landry's proven to be very dependable. And then the surprise guy this year is Rishard Matthews, who I would definitely keep using as like a number three. And then Tannehill has been very consistent. I would definitely start those four guys and maybe even Cameron. Cameron really hasn't reached the expectations, but he's always a threat to, he's only scored once this year. Not as many targets as we were probably anticipating, but he's a guy that, you know, certainly in a bye week situation, you might have drafted him as your number one tight end and you're going to stick with him, and that makes sense. But, I would stick, you know, with those five guys, I think you're doing pretty good.
No, absolutely, and that's why I want to ask the question, because I believe that this is a situation where I think you're going to see these teams go toe-to-toe. They're both on short, on a short week, which doesn't bode well for either team. You know, you don't get a lot of planning. You don't get a lot of rest, obviously, for your players that are banged up. But that's completely beside the point, because now what you have going is you're going to have, a really competitive game. And I think that you should definitely consider starting all the Dolphins that you mentioned, and including Cameron, the great director of Pandora, or Avatar. There we go. I always want to call him James Cameron. That's just my bad, man. Jordan Cameron. Come on, it's James, RC. Come on. I think this is going to be a fun game to watch. And if there was a game that they could get upset at home, this could be the game. You have a very hot Dolphins team coming in, an angry Dolphins team, a Dolphins team that still think that they have something to prove. And so it could be interesting in that light. I naturally assume it'll be a 41-17 game, obviously, by the Patriots win, because they're going to bug all the rooms, steal all the players' sheets like they normally do. But anyhow, I'm just joking. Should be an interesting game, and you never know.
Yeah, I mean, that ain't going to happen, I don't think. I don't think the Patriots blow them out. As a matter of fact, I think what you brought up about as a possibility of an upset is definitely very real. I mean, I could see the Dolphins beating the Patriots. You know, like you're saying, it's a short week, it becomes a little more unpredictable. And the Dolphins are trending in the right direction. That coaching change definitely, you know, that was something that was seemingly necessary, and it seemed to get them going the right way.
All right. Well, that was a great show, RC. We're going to put a wrap on it now. Good luck this week. I don't think we face off against each other in any league again. Thank God for you. Am I correct on that? I believe I'm correct on that.
I haven't checked, but good, yeah. I'm sure it's going to happen, like, in the upcoming weeks, you know, but I think right now we're still neck and neck, right? So we're like an even tie every time we meet.
Yeah, well, I'm just hoping I can edge out a couple, but a couple more against her. But right now, you're absolutely right. We've been even, Steven, and we're probably going to stay that way for a little while. RC, thank you very much, and I will see you guys all next week. We'll do a little bit longer of a show next week. It's just a tough week. I know RC dying to get to his 1-0 Mets lead and get to his game. All right, RC, that's all I got.
And you need to find your 3-year-old who is wandering around your neighborhood. Is that what's happening?
And he's playing he's actually playing the piano outside right now. I can hear him.
Oh, good. Okay, he's close.
I can hear him. That's the only reason why. You know, I've been checking on the whole show. So I'm going to go take care of him, get him his McDonald's.
You got to be careful with 3-year-olds. He could have, like, hired a stunt double to make some noise
out there.
And meanwhile, he's wandering around the neighborhood.
Yeah, I'm going to go out there, and he's going to have a string tied to, like, a big pole, and it's just tapping on the keyboard while he's out driving my SUV around. That's probably what he's doing. He's just decoying me like Ferris Bueller. Dang it, RC!
All right, we'll see it on CNN tomorrow night, I guess.
Yeah, I bet you will.
Wait.
All right, man.
Okay.
You guys have a great night.
All right. All right, you too. Bye.